just got a lesson, you don't have the blanks in the beginning, you come ask me, ask somebody else, we'll get those to you. And so what we're at here, and we're in lesson 13 of learning to work the field training. It's been really a good part of our year, a good probably 8 months or so that we've been in this, and we've still got several lessons to go to probably bring us close to the end of the year to finish this out. But I don't know about you, I'm the type that's, hey, if we're not doing this, we're going to be doing something else. No reason to rush through. Let's make sure we get it, understand it. In my mind, slower is better for us to learn and understand and appropriate into our life. And so in the series itself, we're in a mini-series, Getting to Know the Lost. We dealt with getting to know God. Today we're talking about getting to know the lost. And we mentioned a few weeks back that what we're called to do as ambassadors is to introduce the lost to God, right? Introduce the lost to God. God knows them. They don't know him yet. And his plan for the lost to know him is for us to introduce them to God. God doesn't show up in people's living rooms, you know, and do big bright light and drop a Bible in their lap. That's not how he does it, is it? It's not how it is. It's just not the way. You know, some people want that so badly, and they even conjure up in their mind things like that. But this is simply not how it works. God's plan is for us that know God to get to know the lost and then introduce them to our God. And so part of getting to know them, obviously, is communication. And last time we talked about how important communication was, and we know how important communication is. And not just us, the lost know. Everyone fundamentally knows communication is very important. And it's because we were created as relational beings. Now, scientists have gotten to this place where they're actually studying communication, how it works. We dealt with that last time and some nerdy scientific studies where they were watching people who were communicating well and connecting with another human being. And we've got to a place where we can actually study that and quantify that in a sense. We can study people's reactions to these things. And we found out last time, and this has been a known fact for a long time actually, that as we connect with somebody truly and have good communication, and we all know, don't we? We all know what is a good conversation and what is a not so good conversation. We all know what it feels like when we are talking to somebody and we're not really talking to them. Like, we're not connecting. We're not hearing each other. Our ears are hearing, but we're not connecting. And we've always known that, and scientists have studied that. And when somebody is having a real connection, a good conversation where we're hearing each other, what happens physically is that we start to align physically. Remember, we talked about how our pupils, they actually studied, begin to dilate at the very similar frequencies. And they've done brain scans and watched as the brain, the way that our brains actually fire and operate, begin to look similar. And two people who aren't connecting, two people who aren't having a good conversation, their brains are doing different things, right? And their eye pupils are doing different things, and even our pulse rate and things like that. Because, and scientists see that and they say, you know, this is because... This is where they get all messed up, right? They do real science, and then they try to interpret it. And that's where it falls apart, because they don't know God. And scientists say the reason for this, the reason why our bodies actually physically change to connect, is because they say we evolved to be this way. They say evolution taught us to connect with each other. Evolution taught us to be highly relational beings, in a way, by the way, that no animal is. The way that we do this is different, and scientists say that's what makes humans the most evolved beings. That's what they say, and that's what makes us different than animals. That's why we can have communities and things like that, because of the way evolution worked out. Lucky us, you know? No, actually, that's not the way it works. The reason our bodies are this way is because God created us to be this way. And we said last time, we'll just jump into page 3. If you're on page 3, letter D. So if you don't have blanks, I'll give them to you from here down. God, who is fundamentally a relational being, that's the blank. God is a relational being. God exists in three persons. We mentioned that last time. He exists as Father, Son, Holy Spirit from the beginning, before the New Testament, before we were introduced to Jesus Christ himself that way. That even in Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so God has always existed in three persons, in perfect harmony with each other, perfect relationship, perfect connection, perfect companionship, if you will. And then that God created us. And he created us in his image. That's what God said he would do, isn't it? Let us create man in our image. And so because of that, we're fundamentally relational beings as well. And also, the reason that he made us is so that we can have communication and connection with him, right? God made Adam to walk with him and talk with him in the garden. We sing about that. And we were created fundamentally to be friends with God, in a sense, and have that communication and connection with him and relationship. And so that's how God made us. And so we found out that communication then, letter E, and connection are vitally important, big time important. And we know that in our personal life. We know that in our families, communication, very important, isn't it? We know that in our friendships. We know that at work, communication is important. We know that. But it's more than just that. Communication is important when it comes to reaching the lost. Because if we're going to reach the lost, we need to learn, that's the blank, we need to learn to be better communicators. God's plan to reach the lost is for us to communicate with them. That's God's plan. And so because of that, we need to learn how. So on that note, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Now that you're kind of up to speed. And we'll read our verses. And we will continue on the lesson. Colossians chapter number 4. Oh, my papers were back. Preaching on Colossians this morning. Colossians chapter 4. And whenever you find your place, we'll stand and read before we get into our message this morning. These verses show us exactly, pointedly, why it is important for us, as ambassadors, to learn to be a good communicator. Verse 5 of chapter 4. Paul says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Them that are without, those are the lost, right? And we're to walk toward them. That means we need to be intentional. We don't just randomly bump into them in our life. We need to be intentional in walking toward the lost in wisdom, not compromising our holiness or our beliefs, but in wisdom walking toward the lost, redeeming the time, because they don't have, time's not on their side, is it? Time's on our side. We can pass any time, and when that happens, what do? We go to heaven. If you're saved today, Jesus can go back any moment. And for us, that's our blessed hope, because when that happens, we're out of here. But for the lost, it's also true that they can pass any moment. And that's not a good thing, right? And it's also true for the lost that Jesus can come back any moment. And that for them is not a good thing, because once he does that, that's when the 7 years of tribulation begin. And the wrath of God is poured out on earth. And so time is not on their side. We need to be intentional about reaching them. And we do it with wisdom. Part of that is verse 6. "Let your speech be always with grace." You know what that means? That means you got to speak. This is deep, right? Are we losing anybody? To reach the lost, you need to talk to them. You need to communicate with them. And when you do that, you need to have always with grace, it says. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, And here's the point we're going to deal with today, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We need to learn how to answer every man. We need to learn how to communicate. It's the utmost importance. And you say, I'm not like that. I don't like to talk to people. I'm more of a, you know, introvert. And I understand that. And how about this? I affirm that in you. Okay? Maybe you don't like to communicate. Here's the next thing. You gotta have to get over it. You know? And you're gonna have to learn as an introverted person to talk to somebody. You have to. If you wanna reach them with the gospel, you have to tell them. That means you have to talk to them. And if you are an extrovert and you like talking, you better learn how to talk right. Because we're not just talking to get to because we enjoy it. We're talking to the lost, communicating with the lost, so that we can get them the gospel while there's time. Okay? So let's learn how to be a good communicator. Let's pray. We'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you love us. And thank you, God, that you have a desire to fellowship and communicate with us. And God, in your word, it even says that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, you want that connection, even though that we had nothing to offer you. In this friendship, it's really one-sided, but we're thankful you love us. And help us to love the lost and desire friendship with them so that we can introduce them to you. And help us, God, to pay attention today and learn how we can do that effectively. We love you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Appreciate that. So still there at the end of letter E, we have to. I hope you're seeing this morning. And last time we pretty much took most of our lesson trying to convince you. We need to learn to be better communicators. Under that letter E, it's important you have to understand this part too. Is it warm in here to you, Brother Tim? I'm always warm. It is hot. Taking it. Executive, you're hot? Wow, that means it's hot. Okay, yeah, we're in that weird, like, did you turn the air on or not? So, it's on. Amen. Okay, where was I at? So we need to be good communicators, and you need to understand this from the start. You need to know this from the start. Being a good communicator is not a genetic thing. It's not something you're born with. It's not like some people have it, some people don't. That is not true, okay? For a couple reasons. First of all, first and foremost, God told you to speak, right? God told you to reach the lost. And anything, you need to know this as a Christian, anything God wants you to do, he will help you do it if you trust him, okay? So let's just start there. Secondly, just scientifically, it's just not true. And anyone can learn to communicate well because it's not just some natural born in us thing. It's really a set of skills. Number two, to be a good communicator, you simply need to have a desire, first of all, to communicate. And I think oftentimes we just don't want to talk to people, and so we don't try very hard. But so you have to have a passion for the lost and want to communicate with them. And then just learn the skills. You need to learn the skills of good communication. It's like everything else. You have to learn the fundamentals, you have to learn the skills, and then you got to practice. And practice makes, not perfect, practice makes progress. And the more you practice, the better you get. And people have found that out. And we need to find that out. And so that's what we're going to do today. It's going to be a little bit different than how we normally teach. I'm going to give you just some skills of communication. Again, if you really want to get into this, that book I told you about, it's called Super Communicators. The guy who wrote it is frustrating in a lot of ways because he knows the science and he interprets it wrong, okay? He's one of those who say, is this because of evolution and stuff? No, stop with that. So there's some things that I'm like, don't listen to that part. But he has looked into and studied how communication works and how to do it well. And so if you really want to dive deep into that, you can get with me about that. But anyways, we're going to give you some, right off the top, things you can take with you, okay? So, we're going to give you some skills. Number one is this, communication skill number one, recognize what kind of conversation you are having. And we gave you that blank, I think, last week. Let's get into it. Letter A. There are fundamentally two different types of conversations. There's practical, that's the blank, practical conversations and personal conversations. Practical conversations and personal conversations. And we're going to talk about this later, but you know what I'm talking about. Whenever you're trying to have a personal conversation, someone else wants to have a practical conversation. We'll show you what that means in a second. Or vice versa. You want to give your thoughts personally, and someone else wants to do something practically. And so let's kind of help us understand what these two conversations are like. In a practical conversation, you're trying to talk about things like this. You're trying to exchange information, come to a rational decision, come to a conclusion about something. You're trying to solve a problem. You're trying to complete a task. You're trying to make plans. You are trying to be effective, right? You're trying to get things done in a practical conversation, all right? Solve a problem, make a decision. In a personal conversation, you're trying to talk about things like this, personal experiences and stories, right? You're just relaying maybe how your day went or things that have happened in your life or maybe just reminiscing about things. You want to talk about how you're feeling about something. Like everyone, we both know the practical part of this. I'm just trying to tell you how that came off to me. Express how you're feeling about something. Or these beliefs, values, desires. And those are more personal things, right? We're not just trying to solve a problem. We're trying to show you who we are, right? And that's okay. There's a good place for that, all right? And here's another important thing you need to know. Even though there's two different kinds of conversations, in one conversation, it can change throughout, can't it? It can change from a practical to a personal conversation throughout the conversation. But what we need to know is this. Those are two fundamentally different kinds of conversations, okay? And if you're not following yet, we're gonna help you a little bit more, all right? Letter B. Each kind of conversation requires a different mindset. That's the point. A different way of thinking. So practical conversations involve things like problem solving, analyzing, calculating, planning. That's the practical side of our minds, really. And then personal conversations, you can say more emotional conversations. I don't really like that word. You can have a personal conversation without letting your emotions control you. But a personal conversation involves things like empathy, warmth, comfort, compassion, that kind of conversation. Are you just kind of in your mind, just so that we're on the same page, kind of think through that. Think about in your life times when you've had a practical conversation. Maybe you're trying to decide where to go on vacation, or maybe you're trying to decide how to handle the budget, or maybe you're trying to decide what to wear. You know, sometimes that becomes an emotional thing too. Anyway, but like you're trying to make a decision, okay? And other times where you're talking to somebody about how you're feeling about things, or just talking to a long-lost friend or something and catching up and just telling each other. Or at the end of the day, you get home and you just want to tell your family how the day went, you know? That kind of, those are two different ways of speaking to each other. Are we catching that? And so it's almost like, number three, each kind of conversation requires a different language that follows different rules. To have an effective, practical conversation, you have to think a certain way. But if you're going to think practically, you're not going to be very effective in a personal conversation. And to have a personal, intimate, you know, connecting type of a conversation, you need to think a totally different way. You're not trying to analyze and criticize and plan. You're just talking about things. You see it? And it requires two different ways of thinking. And I want to tell you this. Physically, it actually requires two totally separate parts of your brain. You cannot do both. You cannot. Okay? All right. So number C. Letter C. I feel like a Bible college teacher. We do it all the time. Number C. All right, letter C. Miscommunication, then. It often happens when two people are having different kinds of conversations. Different kinds of conversations. You've had these kind of conversations. We're talking to somebody, but we're not connecting. And you try to figure it out why. I mean, we're talking about the same thing. we pretty much agree. Why are we not hearing each other? And normally it's not because of the content. Normally it's you're not saying the wrong things. Normally it's because you are having a different conversation than they're having. Maybe they're trying to solve a problem and you just want to talk about your day. Or maybe you're trying to talk about your day and they're trying to solve your day. There was no problem with my day. I'm just talking to you. You know? Are you seeing this? Okay. And so if they're speaking personally and you respond practically, you're not going to feel connected because you're not. And it feels cold, doesn't it? Like someone's trying to tell you and then you're just, here's the fact. You know? And it feels cold. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried to have a conversation with somebody about your day and they're constantly trying to give you advice? Just the blank. Advice. Or trying to help you. When you're not really wanting help, you just want to talk. Everyone's been there. Or how about this? Have you ever been trying to make a decision? Like, we got to decide this. Or come to a conclusion about something. And then the other person tries to tell you about a childhood memory. That's the point. You ever had that? We're at a meeting. We're trying to solve things. And you're telling me about what happened when you were 8. It has nothing to do with this. Stop telling me about that. And are you seeing this? This happens. And there's a reason that happens. Because, in both cases, you were probably frustrated with them. You probably felt like the other person wasn't even trying to listen to you, or that they didn't understand you. When, in the end, they probably did understand you. They probably were trying to communicate with you, but they were having a different kind of conversation. And usually the advice that they give is usually perfectly reasonable. It's like you talk about, hey, this happened in my day, and this part was kind of hard, you know. All I know is my life, you know. So I'm at the office, I'm trying to study, and you know, man, a lot of things happened, and I was trying to study, and then this came up, so I had to, you know, deal with that and try to do that. And I'm just telling my wife about my day. Now, she doesn't do this, but she's really good at this. We're the opposites, anyway. And so I tell her about that. And if she were to just say, well, maybe what you need to do is plan your day better. You know, maybe what you need to do is get a calendar. And, you know, she does not do this. She does not do this. But if she did, it would be frustrating. And we've had these kind of conversations, haven't we? So what you need to do, maybe turn your phone off, you know, do this or that. Like, stop. I didn't enter this conversation so you can help this. I'm just talking to you about my day. What you should say is, I'm sorry that was difficult, or this, or, you know, how was this part of your day? Or here's what happened in my day. Okay? And now we're connecting. You see it? Okay. Try my best to help you, because that is really important that we understand that. So the advice, you know, if that were the case, she would probably be right. What I probably need to do is put my phone on Do Not Disturb or whatever. The advice wouldn't be wrong. It's reasonable. But the problem is I wasn't really looking for that right now. Okay? Seeing it? Okay. And then the other way, when you're trying to make a decision and they start telling you a story, that story might be connected, but listen, that's not what we're here for, you know. But you're frustrated because of that. And the whole thing is this. You're trying to have two different kinds of conversations, and because of that, you're not connecting. We all know what this is like. And by the way, we all know when somebody else is doing that. And we're not so good at recognizing that I'm also doing... If two people are having two different conversations and it stays that way, that means both of you are so stubborn that neither of you would change and try to connect with the other. But we get mad at the other one, right? You seeing that? And so, letter D. Effective communication and connection happens by recognizing what kind of conversation is happening and then matching each other. That's the blank. Matching each other. We need to match our speaking style if we're going to connect. Now, this isn't being a chameleon. This isn't being manipulative. This is being humble. And basically, here's what you're doing. You're saying, let's go ahead and have your kind of conversation first, okay? And then we can get to my conversation.
Yeah.
But we both so bad want to get out what we want to get out that neither of us are humble enough to say, how about we have your conversation? Are you seeing this? But if you're going to connect with that other person, you have to recognize what they're trying to accomplish with this. We need to mirror each other's speaking style. What does that mean? So if they're talking about personal experiences and stories, what you need to do is show interest in their story. Maybe ask about the story. You know, do things. We'll give you more practical things along the way. But show interest in what they're saying. And then maybe even allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to share your own experiences about whatever you're talking about. Okay? Your day is the one that happens most days, right? If you have a family, you come home. But other things, like you're talking about, someone's coming to you and talking to you about, hey, this is what it was like when I was in high school. Don't just shut them out. I don't care. You know, well, get over yourself and care, okay? And listen to what happened in high school. And then maybe you should tell them, this is how I was in high school, you know? Instead of like, well, you know the reason why you were like that, you know? Let me psychoanalyze you and help you, you know? Stop it, you know? There's a time for that, but this isn't that time, okay? Seeing that? All right. This is going well. Number four. If they are intent, the person you're talking to, if they're intent on decision-making, if they're trying to solve a problem, then work through the problem with them. And that takes a different kind of thinking, doesn't it? Recognize that they have something that needs to be decided, so help them decide. Don't take over, right? But just talk through the problem with them. They're talking to you about the problem because they want you to talk to them with them about the problem. So do that. So here it is. Try to understand them and then show them you do understand by mirroring them. So whenever someone tells something personal about themselves, if you hear them, understand them, and then you respond by saying something more of a personal nature, then in them they know they heard me and we're in this together. And then that's about when your brain starts to sync together and your eyes start to do the thing, and you know what I'm talking about, all right? All right, again, this isn't about manipulating or imitating them. It's all about humbling yourself in a conversation and truly having a desire to understand them and connect with them. You know, fundamentally what we're going to find with all of these tips is this. You, in a conversation, if you get nothing else out of all this, you need to decide, out of this conversation, what I want most is to hear and understand them. And if we never get to me, that's fine, because I'm going to humble myself. What does the Bible say? Prefer others over yourself, and I want to make sure they know I heard them. You know, and I could respond to it later, or you know what's going to happen most of the time. If they really believe that you want to hear them, they're going to be more likely to want to hear you. You probably will find you'll get to your conversation later. But even if it doesn't happen, just humble yourself. Okay? This conversation isn't about you. It's about ministering to them. Okay. I want to make sure we get out a little early today. So we'll do number two, and then next time we'll do three and four. So number three, communication skill number two is this. Learn to ask deep questions. Learn to ask deep questions. So Duhigg, he's the guy who wrote that book that I told you about. He found in his research on communication that good communicators, again, scientifically proven good communicators, not just his opinion, they ask 10 to 20 times more questions than other people do. 10 to 20 times. That means most people ask maybe three. They would ask, what's that, 30 to 60, you know? A lot more questions. Okay? Why does that matter? Because when you ask a question, it tells others you want them to answer. You want to hear from them. If you learn to just ask questions in general, it'll make you a better communicator. It'll make you less selfish in a conversation. It communicates you're more interested in what someone else has to say than you are about telling them what you have to say. Ask questions. Make sense? Don't ask leading questions to get them to say what you want so you can say what you want, but ask genuine questions. So letter B is, good communicators also make it a habit, that's the point, a habit to ask deep questions. It becomes a habit to them. What is that? What's a deep question? A deep question focuses more on this, on learning who a person is rather than just facts about them or facts about whatever. We need to learn to not always analyze things and just learn interesting facts, but what we're trying to do is learn who they are. Right? If we want to reach the lost, they need to know we're interested in who they are as a person. So that comes by asking questions that are more deep than the surface level, you know, small talk type thing. For example, letter number two. A deep question focuses more on values, beliefs, or experiences. Okay? For example, instead of asking a question like, where do you live? Pause. Don't read the rest. When you ask, where do you live, it's like a trivia, right? It's like, what's the numbers? I know where that is. Okay, that's where you live. But that says nothing about them, does it? Not really. So instead, ask something like this. What's the best part of where you live? Now, you need to know where they live first, right? But get to the place where they have to tell you something about who they are. You can have a conversation with somebody and know nothing about them, really. We want to learn who they are. So then you ask follow-up questions like this. Where do you work? And then what brought you to that job, right? There's a difference between where do you work and say, why did you choose that? You see the difference? That causes them to kind of tell you, okay, here's how I think, right? Here's what's important to me. I took this job because, and then that'll open up more of a personal and getting to know an intimate conversation with somebody. You see it? Deep questions, here's what they do. They make room for someone to talk about something meaningful about themselves. Something meaningful. Letter C. The idea is that you genuinely want to learn more about who they are, that's the blank, as a person. Now we're gonna stop there. Number four here is awesome and a lot more practical. But I think we've done enough today. So these tips are more fundamental and change. We need to change how we think, don't we? In a conversation, we need to change how we think. And number one is, the takeaway from this is that you're not interested in a conversation about them hearing what you think. You're interested in hearing them. And with a deep question situation, you're not just interested in knowing things about them. You're interested in knowing who they are. It's kind of the difference between real religion and false religion, right? It's the difference between rituals and relationship. And we don't just follow God and learn things about God. We want to learn who God is. You see? God made us that way, and that's how we are with people. And you know, you can overdo this. I want to say this to you. You don't pry, okay? Don't get into people's business, all right? But what you need to communicate is this: I care about you more than just we just pass by each other. I want to know who you are as a person. And that'll mean something to them. Why? Because we were created to crave that. Now they might be in a place where they don't want to talk about that, and that's okay. Don't force yourself in there. But I will say this, even if they say, you know, I don't really want to talk about that right now, whatever, a lot of times that you just say that's fine, but for them, they'll know this person cared about me enough to even ask that question. So what we can do is, let's do that today. Perfect day for this, right? It's friend day. This isn't acquaintance day. This isn't, we happen to be in the same room day. This is friend day. And we're going to have guests come. And when you see a guest, don't just think, yeah, we're filling up this place because you want to see a full house. Get over what you want out of this. And think about them, right? And think about, what is it like the first time someone comes into a church building? You know? You're going to have to get over what you think and put yourself in their shoes, right? And maybe even ask them a question more than like, hey, glad you're here. That's not even a question. Then leave. You say, hey, we're very glad you're here. What brought you here? Or whatever, you know? Again, be careful. Again, you can take this too far, can't you? All right? But show them that you actually care about them as a person, not as another number in our attendance count. Right? You see it? People know the difference. Do that. Ask them maybe to sit with you. Right? Do something like that. Show interest in them. And you know, when you come to church, we can't come to church to get what we want out of this. We come to church to be a blessing to others and serve others. You know. And you'll find you'll be way more help if you come ready to be a help. We need to humble ourselves, don't we? Fundamentally. And so I wrote down a couple things because we're gonna let out early. And I wanted to mention a couple things that I don't want to forget. I already kind of told you, I want you to think about our guests, like, get yourself in their shoes and say, what is it, what must it be like? Because we've been coming for months and years, every week, we're familiar with this. They're in a brand new place, our first time guests, people maybe they've never seen, maybe they've never been to church, and so we need to be thinking about that, all right? Couple things about that. We're going to let out a little bit early, and I want you to get all settled in. I want you to get your spot. I want you to be all ready. Don't be scrambling around, frantic and crazy. Try to settle in, chill out, get some coffee in. Always important, unless it gives you migraines. So. All right. And then I want you to do this. If you're parked close, and you can walk from there to there. Now, some of you, if you move your car, you know who you are. You're in trouble. Okay. But if you can walk and it's no big deal, maybe move your cars to that side, that way our guests can have the close parking. What we need to be a blessing to our guests. Make sense? Be a blessing to our guests. And again, maybe ask them if they want to sit with you. Do whatever you can to show them, to love on them, show them we care. And I'm looking forward to the day. It's going to be a good day. And if you would, take time to pray about the message this morning and that God would work. Yes, please. Yes. Yeah. If there's been a lot of people invited that you know haven't been here for a while, you need to ask questions that aren't going to make them feel like they're being interrogated, right? We care about them. We're not looking for gossip. And you might say, "I'm not looking for gossip." They think you are. You need to put yourself in their shoes. What if you were gone for a while and come back? What would you want? Would you want someone to show up right at the door and say, "Hey, where you been at?" No, you kind of want to just act like it's all okay. You know, we can deal with that maybe later. Let's not do that. Let's just say, ready? Say it after me. Ready? I'm glad you're here. There you go. Amen? That'll be enough. So thank you for the time. All right, let's pray. Let you go. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us and desiring to communicate with us and connect with us. And help us, God, to learn to communicate with others well. Help us just to fundamentally learn just to care and humble ourselves and care about others more than us and put others above ourselves. Help us to do that as a church family. It's so important, Lord, as we create unity in the church, but also as the lost come, Lord, help us to show your love to them and care for them truly and genuinely and then show that, express that, prove that even to our guests. We love you. We're looking forward to what you're going to do today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.